You're listening to The Podcast with a K. We're here to talk about Doctor Who, and I've called it The Podcast with a K for the first time in about 6 months. It's the Doctor Who podcast from casterbus.co.uk. I'm Christian Carlin, with me is James McLean, and we weren't really scheduled to record this, and again, it's the second time in a week. It's you can tell Russell T Davies is back, can't you?
Sunday drop, yep.
And there's also, I don't know if you noticed, we're obviously going to be talking about David Tennant and Catherine Tate largely, but there's something about the confidence about these announcements all of a sudden, isn't there? It's like the BBC and the press office being like, give us something, and Chibnall gives them something, and they're like, well, we can't do much with this, we'll just have to wait until a quiet moment. But Russell T Davies is back, and they're just throwing things out in the middle of other busy things.
Yeah, I was thinking about this last night, how, and again, I've no chip with Chibnall.
No.
Kind of feels right. No chip. There's no chip there. I'm fine with him. He's, I've had no massive issue with this era any more than any other era. But I kind of feel, yeah, there's something about Davis or Davis's teams, or maybe, as you say, maybe there's a different political climate in the BBC at the moment for Doctor Who, but it feels like there's a sort of shift in gears, and I think that's probably down to the way he does things, and also I think, to be fair, that it is a new era, which does give more interest from media sources and what's going on. But I think as we've talked about this in the past, as we suspected and has been rumored, so it's not like we're being anything particularly profound, that there would be something like this going on, that for the 60th year, that there would be some sort of drops of other doctors that sort of would be capitalized upon in his era in trying to spread things out. And well, I think Chibnall was trying to do what Davis did originally and kind of narrow Doctor Who down into sort of being focused, like in itself, into that sort of main body, that main text.
Yeah,
I think Davis is going to be more keen now in sort of exploring and doing a lot more stuff with all the things. Not that Chibnall hasn't done that, but not. I don't think that's. He feels to me like his era has been very much like how when Davis started it, how he wanted it to be, which was very forward focused largely, and then with little droplets in the past. But you always felt like it was going forward. You've never had any real references to River Song or to the Smith era or the Ten, it's all kept very forward focus. So I think you're feeling a different vibe here. We're feeling a different vibe.
Definitely. To give you the general view of this, the general details of this, David Tennant and Catherine Tate will reprise their roles as the Doctor and Donna Noble in a new episode of Doctor Who for the show's 60th anniversary, or certainly in the 60th anniversary year. Russell T Davies says, "They're back and it looks impossible. First we announce a new Doctor and then an old Doctor along with the wonderful Donna. What on earth is happening? Maybe this is a missing story or a parallel world or a dream or a trick or a flashback. The only thing I can confirm is that it's going to be spectacular as two of our greatest stars reunite for the battle of a lifetime." It sounds fun and exciting in a way that maybe Chris Chibnall doesn't do, because he's a completely different type of writer and different showrunner. And, it's a different show. And this feels... In the same way that Moffat's Doctor Who felt like a refreshing change after Davies' Doctor Who, again, this feels like a refreshing change from what we've just had. And that's fine, because that's part of how Doctor Who grows, isn't it? It's always been a refreshing change from the previous version.
Yeah, but I think there's something in the way that... I think you're right in so far... Well, I think you're right in that they're two different personalities. And I think the exuberance of Davies' enthusiasm is far more... tangible and is far more present than you get with Chibnall, who's a far more sort of spoken person in a different way. And I think that's probably what sort of accelerates the interest, and maybe also accelerates the media interest, because this is Davis is a very, and we've always said this, I think everyone has always said this, is that even when people criticize Davis, because I remember at the time, you know, when he wasn't the golden child, he was the person who couldn't write science fiction stories, who was just into soap stories, all these sort of discourses were going around. But no one really denied is that he was an exceptionally good producer, something that was perhaps, and then Moffat wasn't quite attuned to in what's been spoken about in terms of the way they dealt with stuff internally and sometimes externally. He was more of a writer than a producer in my eyes. Davis has always been more of a, well, has been as a producer as much as a writer. And I think in times like this, it shows in the way he speaks about it. Because, I mean, you imagine, I mean, season we had when you had Joe Martin as a renegade doctor and you had the master come back. You know, there's quite a lot of sort of the timeless child stuff. I just wonder how Davis would have spun that in his rhetoric compared to Chibnall. How would he? Because there's some quite sort of big things coming up. But I never felt going into that series that there was going to be any big things. In a way, that was kind of fun because when you had the Renegade Doctor, I was surprised. I did not see it coming. You know, Captain Jack coming back was kind of not really pushed. Stuff like that. Well, I think Davis is very good at sort of the spin and sort of getting people energized. And the way he talks about, you know, because so far we've only been told it doesn't say episodes, they just say scenes. So it's a big load of spin for scenes, if it is scenes in a story. So again, I just, you know, again, he spins the minutiae while I don't think others do that. We could end up with it just being like a 20 minutes, you know, it could be a whole episode, I don't know, but. The way it says scenes suggests to me like they're not down for either a specific episode or a sole episode or a separate story. It feels like it's something that's popping up, almost like the Five Doctors, but it's being spun in a way that makes it seem like more than that.
Well, I mean, it would have to, I mean, it's very easy. Well, they don't look like they looked in 2008 anymore, do they? So surely it's got to be something new rather than set in the past or pulled out of the time or whatever. But, you know, they always find a way to get around that, don't they? So that's.
The press jargon made a big thing about it being that Donna had been left and couldn't remember the Doctor and the Doctor and the Donna returning. So it was kind of suggesting it was flowing forward rather than a story being told in the past. So even though Davis has sort of done this, you know, what could this mean? How could this be done? It kind of suggests that there is a continuity here, that this is going to somehow bring them back.
I'm loving the photo. There's a couple of photos of them, but the main one of Tennant on the left and Catherine Tate on the right, he looks like they look like a couple have just got back together, but she's not 100% certain.
There was a line in the Radio Times, I think it was, which it didn't annoy me, but it always buzzes me a bit, where it says, you know, that they've not been absent from Doctor Who. They've done the video games. Tennant came back for Day of the Doctor. They've been involved in the Big Finish audio as Doctor and Donna, but now this makes it official. And it kind of, again, it's that weird sort of tourism that you get. It's like, well, if they've been not just video games, but let's just say the Big Finish, which is an official BBC product, and it's, well, it's just, you know, it's licensed product, then they have officially been together. And there's this weird sort of tourism that, because they're in the television show, that makes them now officially back in Doctor Who. And it's like, well, I know it's a sort of splitting of hairs, but it's weird how we have these sort of tiers that, you know, and we see it in canons. People argue about canons, don't they? They'll say, and you know, some franchises have specific canons, like Star Wars, I think, you know, of what is canon, you know, films to books to video games and tiers. And it's just really weird. It's like, why can't you just accept that just because a lot of people haven't, and including myself, haven't listened to them, that those stories don't have the same validity that writers and producers who've made those stories haven't got the same validity as a television show, just because a television show is watched more.
There's a very different attitude with Star Wars, I've noticed. I've replayed Fallen Order recently, and there's like characters and situations in that have been that have, you know, drawn from other parts of what happened previously with the animated serials, and which are then followed on directly in the new Obi-Wan with the whole Inquisitors thing. So, and I think they take the different, maybe it's because of the, I suppose up to 1997, the sort of scarcity of Star Wars in visual form before that, where they relied heavily on the comics and the novelizations and the novels, with the novelizations being expanded versions of the scripts and stuff and what you show on screen, and then the later, more original novels and the video games. Whereas Doctor Who, obviously, is there's a lot more screen time for Doctor Who, and maybe that's why it has that sort of more it's a premier level relevancy in the sort of cultural eye, do you think?
I just think it's old fashionedness. I think
I
it's
agree.
Doctor Who
Yeah.
hasn't caught up. And, as you say, in the 90s, Star Wars was doing the same. And it's only more, to be fair, since, well, a little bit before Disney took over, because the Clone Wars was decided to be canon, even though it was an animated series, which was unusual for a franchise to actually sort of give animation that sort of level of tier. But then, as you say, now everything's connected. Fallen Order, Inquisitors, they're in Rebels. You'll find stuff in Boba Fett that was in the Clone Wars or in, and then they draw from their Legends era and start, bring Thrawn in. So that they're tapping into their stuff which isn't canon and taking what they want to make to add to their canon. And yeah, I think that's what Doctor Who's going to do. I mean, obviously The Matrix was very famous for doing it with video games back in the early 2000s by making their video games an untold story which was canon. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Doctor Who has kind of been dabbling a little in that over the years, but has always been very cautious about not doing so. And the obvious reasons is it just makes it complicated for writers. And, audiences don't main majority of audiences won't follow everything, so why do that? But I think sometimes you miss a trick. On a commercial level, you can miss a trick. And I think you can make the world a little richer. I kind of like that. I kind of, and as we've said before, Doctor Who is just a whole load of time-changing, multiversey stuff anyway. So you can get away with it and not have to worry too much about the consequences. Because main
Now,
canon doesn't.
well, yeah. So, I mean, it's very easy to get excited about this, but I mean, we've still got another episode of Jodie Whittaker's Doctor to get through. Then, presumably, we've got a lot of episodes of Shooter Gatwa to get through before we hit the whatever David Tennant and Catherine Tate are in. But it is still kind of cool, isn't it? They have both denied being involved with Doctor Who again recently, on a TV level. David Tennant said, "I mean, it would be quite a weird idea, and it's not something that you'd necessarily expect from Doctor Who," he said at a recent convention, "and that's all I can. I'm not going to try giving any more than that because what's the point?" Basically implying that no one will believe him regardless of what he says. And then Catherine Tate was on the One Show and said, "What can I tell you? No, I wish it was true," in square brackets. "No one's been in touch. I'm on the same number. I'd just like to say, so if you've got the money, I've got the time." But yeah, no, she's an actress. She's a comedian. She's more than capable of not being entirely honest there. Well, then again, maybe no one did ring until after that. I don't. I mean, if it was a toss-up between Catherine Tate and Doctor Who, or Catherine Tate having a new series of the Catherine Tate Show, I'd rather have the latter, I think. But
Well, I must admit I'm a bit indifferent on both. I mean, I enjoy both Donna and the Doctor, but to me, in my head, if I enjoyed them so much to be genuinely excited about this, I'd have bought the Big Finish audio plays, and I didn't. So I don't think I really have a massive emergency need to see them again. I think it'll be cool. I think it'll be fun, and I'm glad it's happening. But yeah, I'm not going to pretend that I was massively enthralled by this reunion because they kind of have had their reunion and I didn't buy into it. So I'd be a bit hypocritical to go, well, I just need to see them. And then, if I can't see stuff on audio, like, no, I'm obviously not that engaged, but I'm glad they're doing it. And again, I think we're seeing a lot of that at the moment, which I think again is the show becoming more attuned to the media, the world, this whole zeitgeist of everything connecting. No Way Home, I think, is obviously, in some ways the real big example because, you're drawing different franchises again together, different iterations of a character which were not meant to have connection into something to for the audience wanted and have wanted for ages. And it's so weird, isn't it? Because Doctor Who's only been the real show which has had that sort of constant dip back into its own continuity, and obviously the format allows that. But shows don't tend to do that. They don't seem to realize a lot of the time how much audiences want to see the past. I suppose Star Trek did with things like Tribbles and Tribulations with Deep Space Nine, where they
Yeah.
go back and they did that a lot of computer imagery to sort of connect the original 60 series and do all that sort of stuff. And that was kind of a big example of it. But yeah, I think there's a funny thing. I think somehow TV shows don't always quite tap into what audiences like, which is odd because they're TV watchers as well. And yeah, I think sometimes there's a lot of underestimation of quite how deep audiences get, how deep they dive, and how they love diving that deep. And having, say, the Doctor and Donna come back as part of a continuity is big time for them. I think people would be disappointed if it was just a story from their past. Television's never worked that out. I'm thinking this the other day. It's nothing profound. I'm sure everyone listening to this has thought this as well. Is why the hell do we have prequels? Because no one ever wants a prequel. I've never met anyone who's read a book and go, I'd love a prequel to that. They want sequels, and yet somehow we have this constant need to sort of try and sort of prequel stuff, which no one is ever interested in. If Lord of the Rings is prequel works, it won't be because people wanted a prequel to Lord of the Rings. It's just that people want Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But they'd have sold so much more, or had so much more certainty if they'd managed to do a sequel,
Half a
because that's
billion.
what people want.
$500 million for a
Yeah.
prequel.
And people don't want prequels. They don't like prequels. They'll take a prequel over nothing, maybe, sometimes, not always, but they don't want prequels. And yet we still have this weird thing where you can do prequels as a weird way of tapping into franchises, but it's a really bad way of doing it. And this is an example of where it works. Yeah, you're taking this. If they did this as a prequel, as I said, as something that's gone that happened in their era, I don't think people would have been as engaged, and that's probably why people aren't that engaged with the Big Finish audio of Doctor and Donna. People like me, when I say people, because obviously a lot of people did engage with it. It's
Yeah.
because it's like, well, it's not new. It's stuff from their time. I was actually more interested in the updated Torchwood than I would be of, to be honest, I only listened to a couple of those, than I would be of the Doctor and Donna in Big Finish, because it's not moving forward. So
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
prequels, eh? What that's all about, eh?
what's that all about, eh?
Hey, is my
Well,
mic on? My mother-in-law. Yeah. Let's tap into our Ronnie Corbett. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Well, this is something else we need to talk about, and that is that when this happened, I'm not sure how I did. I think maybe something popped up on Twitter because I don't think. Yeah, I was on the computer and something happened. It popped up. I was like, "Oh, it's one of those spoof accounts." It's one of those spoof BBC Doctor Who accounts. That's not real. And then I looked at it, and also because I clicked the link and it didn't work, and then I sent it to you, didn't you? And you said the same thing. The link doesn't work. And I don't know if the same thing was going through your mind, but then it turned out that it was real. And although the link, I haven't checked the link on the BBC website since, so I don't know if it works or not. But the point is that I'm desperately trying to get towards is that the thing that was trending was Peter Capaldi.
Oh,
Which I
why was
thought
he
was
trending?
really, really amusing. I think there's this kind of expectation that Peter Capaldi and Pearl Mackie and Matt Smith and Jenna Coleman are also going to be announced.
Yeah, I think that's possibly likely. But I think he's going to drip this, so
Oh yeah, well, ha.
that's my point.
Yeah, well, is he or isn't he? Because there is an Instagram exchange, which was highlighted on our Facebook page. Andrew Brooke, thank you, shared this. It's a screenshot by Twitter user The Post Monument. Someone called Boyd Hilton responds, "Could not be happier. Announcement Sundays are so good." This is a screenshot from Instagram. And Russell T Davies replies, "And Mondays." Which suggests that maybe today or other Mondays in the near future, things are going to be announced on.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. It feels like someone who's come on board and has gone, right, I kind of feel like the problem with Doctor Who at the moment is perhaps not the show itself, but the PR train has just washed up. How do I reinvigorate the PR, the PR train here? How do we get it chugging along again? And slow drops, constant drops. Because I mean, this is the thing. I mean, part of doing any sort of commerce, as people who do commerce know, is about being visible. It's not so much about the, and that's why, as we've said many years ago now, with the Moffat era, one of the biggest problems with the Moffat era is logistically, is if you keep changing the time and the it airs and the time of year it airs, you'll lose people because people get used, people like rhythms and patterns. And if they know it's going to be back at this play at this sort of time of the year, at this time of the day, on this day, people will more likely watch, and you won't disperse your audience. And I think that's what Davis is doing here. He's doing the drops, the slow drops, the slow drip, to get the visibility back, to get people talking about it, to get people back on board. And again, I don't think that's a criticism of Chibnall's production per se, any more than it's a production a criticism of maybe Moffat's production as well. But this is what Davis is good at, is that he knows how to tap markets. He knows how to gain, to you to produce, which is what he's there to do, and
Is
his
there
team, to be fair, not just him.
maybe an argument in favor of the viewpoint that Chris Chibnall was executive producing a TV show and Russell T Davies is executive producing a multimedia phenomenon?
Yes, you could say that, but I would say he did this in 2005 as well. He was very good at selling his stuff because he's a good producer, and his team. I keep saying just him, but it's not just him. But the team he coordinates, or is part of, are very good at sort of motivating interest and knowing how to do it within the time period. Back in 2005, the amount of web stuff that was coming out, because that
Yes,
was a
the
time when the web
Tardisons,
was.
yeah.
Web stuff was building up, and there was the secretish websites for UNIT and
Oh, yeah, Mickey's website
Mickey's
and
website. So there was very much that thing about keeping it visibility and touching the right audience mark. He was marking the audience. It was there for kids and young adults, so he was going to the web and he was putting stuff up there that they would find fun and would engage them. That's what he was very good at. That's what his team was very good at. And I think, yeah, we're seeing that cynically, a careful drop, because I suspect, and I could be wrong, but let's go on my least expectation here, that there is a few episodes in the next series which has multi-doctors in them. So it could be like, I mean, it could be like there's a through the season, if it's a celebratory birthday season, it could be each episode has a different doctor involved in it. So he could have one with Capaldi and Bill Mack and Mac Pearl Mackie. He could have one, as you say, with Smith and Coleman. He could have one with obviously Donna and Donna and the Doctor. And the reason I think that is quite might be quite pertinent, the Donna and the Doctor, is that would mean that you're probably opening up, if Eccleston did come on board, the only one that he would really be with would be Rose. So if Piper was to return, that would be the doctor he should have to really go with, because the only other person that Eccleston could go with, if you're doing companion pieces, dual pieces, would be Barrowman, and I don't see that happening. So it could be quite a deliberate reason why Donna and Tennant have been paired. I don't know. I mean, it's just all speculation, but it could be like that. So I think what he'll do, and I think what won't happen, is I don't think it'll be a multi-doctor episode. I think he's If I was him, I'd be thinking that's been done so many times now, where we just saturate an episode with doctors. Let's stop doing that.
Let's do it
Why
differently. Well,
do we do that? Why do we have in a season we can have three episodes with three different doctors?
you say three episodes with three different doctors. What if I told you that there was a meeting where three specials were announced, were discussed for next year in the last month, and that also the two actors who we've already mentioned today, that were announced yesterday were also discussed. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? It's like three's a magic number.
I mean, he's a masterful scallywag because, you know, he's got us all chatting about this. I mean, it could be a game of the smokes and mirrors. By saying new scenes, you could be lowering expectations of what's coming out. Yep. So in a month later and you go, actually, it's going to be an episode devoted to the Doctor and Donna. And you just boosted what you've already said.
Completely.
And you've capitalized on that and added to an already done storyline, because you can't just say, oh yeah, here's a little more about the scenes with Doctor and Donna. That's not going to hit as much as then going, actually, yeah, it's a whole episode dedicated to them. So yeah, I mean, I could see that. I mean, we did talk about this over the last few months, you know, the idea of him, as I say, multi-franchising out and doing specials, one-offs, limited series stuff, which doesn't necessarily get in the way of Shooty's run, which would be sensible. Because, you know, one of the big issues at the moment, one of the possible criticisms would be, are you overshadowing Shooty's news with this?
Yeah.
I don't think you are, but one could argue that maybe that's, is it disrespectful to a new doctor to suddenly the week after to sort of go, hey, and we've got this old doctor that you know and is established and love. I don't know. But I think, yeah, I think you're right. I think that I could see that happening. Definitely. I could see him doing, because I don't think he'll do a multi, or he won't singularly do a multi-doctor story because it's been done. It's boring.
Yeah.
And I just don't think and I think there's a bit of him is also that, you know, Moffat did well with that. He's obviously still in good communique with Moffat, and he's always seemed very aware. They all seem quite aware about treading on toes of previous eras. I don't think he would want to try and sort of do something which will just be compared to Day of the Doctor in the new series. I think he'll want to do something different bigger, because they all want to always do bigger. And what's bigger than doing multi-doctors in a series, you know, in a year, that aren't just contained in one story where no one really gets space to breathe? Yeah, I mean, there could be a lot of fun stuff going next year. I think the bets are off. Definitely. I did like, did you see this? I'm sure you did the stuff with McCoy and Shooty this week, last week.
No. What have I missed there?
Oh, no. McCoy on his Instagram did a little video welcoming Shooty to the role.
Oh, right. Okay.
And he sort of said, you know, you'll be fighting off the Daleks, the Cybermen, Sontarans, and the critics, you know, that old line. and Shooty replied on his Instagram on a story feed, just sort of saying, thank you very much. This really means a lot to me. I look forward to taking them all on, especially the critics. And it was kind of, it was just funny because a lot of people were just commenting and going, now there's 2.5 million followers of Shooty looking up to see who this McCoy guy is. Because there is obviously a level of fame that Shooty has at the moment that is interesting. And it just seemed like a really sweet moment to have him turn around and acknowledge this this welcoming so openly and without sort of, and you know, just a person to person as peers. And it was a really nice moment. But yeah, anyway, I thought you'd seen that. But yeah.
No, I missed that.
You know,
no,
don't need to now. But you'll find it on Twitter. There's...
I won't do it now, but I'll try and put it in the show notes so our one remaining listener can check it out.
Don't do it before, because that'd be like a prequel, and no one likes a prequel. Which is like a sequel.
Yeah. Well, do people not like prequels? I was thinking of Endeavour. That did quite well, didn't it? And then I thought, again, actually, maybe it did okay, but that was mainly because Roger Allen was in it, probably.
I can't think of any prequel that people have actually cried for or wanted.
A
sequel.
No. I mean, no. James Bond, no.
I mean, Caprica was all right for the Battlestar Galactica chain, and largely because it was so divorced from Battlestar Galactica, it didn't really work. But ultimately, I think people would have liked to have seen something after.
Rogue One?
Yeah, I think Rogue One is probably an example of a prequel that did work.
But no one asked for it, though, did they?
No. I mean, it's funny because, I mean, even our esteemed colleague, Mr. Cavanaugh, was very anti the Solo film. And I didn't mind it. But ultimately, there's no denying that people would have preferred, if possible, to have seen Harrison Ford in a solo film, even if he was old Harrison Ford, old solo. There's no doubt that that would have sold more. It would have probably cost more to get him to do it, which is the problem. But
Twice
there's
as
no doubt if
much.
you put prequel or sequel, people will always go sequel.
Yeah.
Prequels are almost like suggesting sequels are too hard for you to do for some reason,
Yeah.
usually
Yeah.
because of actors. But I mean, it killed Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks went, they went and did their prequel, and if the prequel had done well, they'd have done sequel films. But no one wanted a prequel. They wanted to know what happened after Twin Peaks. And it was the same with the Star Wars prequels. I think people were disappointed when they were announced because a lot of them were like, don't care what happened before. We want to see Luke, Han, and Leia again. They don't want to see young Anakin. I mean, I know, in fairness, there's obviously been a whole group of people who have grown up with those, and now, Obi-Wan Kenobi's film coming out with Ewan McGregor, and that's something to look forward to. And I love the Clone Wars and Rebels, so I'm not saying that prequel stuff can't work. I just think, I find it odd when people tap into the past when a lot of people, audiences, always want to tap into the future. It just feels a very dangerous minefield to wander down. It can succeed, but it's not really ever giving what audiences want. They want to go forward. But
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. I was wondering whether there is perhaps some sort of problem with the whole prequel mindset, in that maybe people behind these shows and movies or whatever, they maybe focus on it being an actual prequel rather than it being just a new story that happens to be set in area
Yeah,
X or time X.
I think that's a difference as well, isn't it? And I do wonder whether Rogue One would have been so well received if people weren't already getting sequels. So, if you'd sort of said, well, I mean, it was a bit like, as I say, with the Clone Wars, not the Clone Wars cartoon per se, but certainly with the prequels there. If you'd sort of had a sequel coming up and a prequel as well, people would be happy. They can chew and enjoy the prequel, knowing that they get to see what's happening after their franchise through the sequel. But yeah, I think I agree with you as well. It also depends on whether the stories are sort of world connected rather than, and are so narrative adjacent that they're not really dealing with the things that people have, are. Like, for instance, you say Rogue One is not a Skywalker story, really. Yeah, Vader appears in it briefly, but it's about a totally different thing. So yeah, I don't know. It's just an interesting thing. Interesting.
So, yeah, we'll wrap it up then. So, just to confirm, they're back. David Tennant and Catherine Tate return to Doctor Who. We are stunned and excited, and we are under the not unreasonable assumption that more is to come from the BBC and Russell T Davies and
Well,
Bad Wolf.
wasn't there a rumor yesterday floating around about Joe Grant and K-9 for the end of this era?
What?
I'm sure I read somewhere. Maybe I dreamt it. Who knows? My engagement with life and reality is so slim these days; they're interchangeable. But pretty sure there was a somewhere the rumor spinning of Katie Manning and K-9 appearing for the finale, because there was a suggestion from either Fielding or Aldred that they weren't the only surprises
Oh, I
for the
see,
finale this year. So I
right.
think so, which is good, because the only criticism I have of Davis's stuff is that there's still a bit of me which is like, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, Davison, these are people who have been, massively vital to the franchise, who still kind of feel a little bit ignored by the new series. McGann's had his little moment, which is good, because he'd had no moments at all. So I Baker's obviously had the curator, but those three, I mean, having Aldred and Fielding is at least an acknowledgement of those eras, so that's cool. But I would like, an announcement. I'd like one of those three to get a, even if it's just voice pieces in the next year. They need acknowledgement.
So, on that bombshell, we will be back next time. Until then, bye.